Blog Talk Radio.
I hear a lot of talk about old-time great fighters. I hear people say that Joe Louis, Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, Jim Jeffries, and all of them would have annihilated the likes of myself, Muhammad Ali. After watching these films, watching their opponents, watching their styles, watching how they fought, watching the footwork and the speed, it may come as a shock to you, but I say that I would have beat every heavyweight that ever lived before me.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
And I'm knocking out all bones. And if you get too small, I'll knock you out.
The cameraman, everybody follows me. I'm so great.
That he will go in 8 to prove that I am great. And if he want to go to heaven, I'll get him in 7. He'll be in the worst of 6 if I cut it to 6. And if he keeps talking jive, I'll cut it to 5.
I'm the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that
great. I'm a bad man.
Everyone, you know what time it is. Time for the Majority Decision. Coming to you live from the great state of Texas, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Greg the Truth. The host of this show is the Black Belt, Mr. Fayaz. I want to thank everybody for tuning in live or downloading and listening. However you get that done, we do appreciate it. We want to invite you to follow us on Twitter at Majority MMA, and like us on Facebook, The Majority Decision. And of course, if you like the show, tweet it out, share it on your Facebook page, subscribe to it through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, all of those great places, and make sure that the show is downloaded every time a new one comes on. Fayaz, how's it going?
It's going good, man. I'm watching a runaway from Ben Henderson. At least he did in the first round. I think he's tired now, so he's being forced to kind of stand in front of him a little bit.
Yeah, interesting fight so far between these two guys. Also interesting that Bellator was so brazen as to dub this a super fight.
Yeah,
Bellator, I don't know why, man.
Yeah, I don't know why it's a super fight. I guess maybe it's because I think they've both been champs. Maybe that's why it's a super fight. But all I can see is Pitbull really just playing it safe, man. He's like running around. I don't know what he's doing. You can tell Ben Henderson's getting kind of frustrated, and I don't know. I'm expecting more out of Ben in this deal. So hopefully he'll make something happen.
Pitbull's noticeably smaller.
He is. That's why I thought, you know, Henderson's explosiveness would come into play here, but looks like Pitbull wants to do a little bit of grappling. So we'll see how that goes.
Pitbull kind of landed the right hand, I think, early in the first round. I think it's got Ben a little timid. I'm
well,
a Henderson
really
fan, but based on
really
what I've seen from him in his first fight in Bellator, and so far in, what, 2.5 rounds or 1.5 rounds here against Pitbull, man, he's making it look like Dana White made the right decision.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was a super fight, all right. Looks like Pitbull broke something, and now he has to quit.
Uh-oh. I'm watching it on my DirecTV stream on my computer, so I think I'm a little bit behind. But speaking of Bellator's superness, one of the interesting notes that came down this week was Bellator signed Rory McDonald. I think that's all but pretty much They confirmed it on the TV show today.
Yeah, they did. You know, I thought, I don't know. Who knows why Rory McDonald did it? I don't know.
Oh, we know why.
I have no idea why. I mean, you know, I don't know what his reasons were, but I will say Robbie Lawler ruined him. That's one thing I can say. I don't think I think he just, you know, he fought again after that. He didn't fight the same. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I hate to see Rory McDonald go, but why do you think he went?
The money.
I think the money.
I think, whoa, his foot looks nasty. It's yeah, it was the money, number one. But I also do think that what you're saying about Robbie Lawler, it has a little bit to do with it too, because he's now been to the top of the mountain and had his opportunity two times, I believe. Came up twice, came up short both times, and, you know, he's still young. He could leave the UFC, go to a Bellator, get some more fights under his belt, build his name
back
a little bit more, and come back. And
yeah, he could
get that big payday for the UFC.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Right now, there's just no big paydays in the welterweight division of the UFC, let's face it, right? Unless he's going to fight, you know, GSP, that's going to be the biggest payday, right, in the welterweight division.
Yeah.
And that's his teammate, so that's not happening, right?
Right.
And then if he leaves, that leaves opportunity for George to come back at 170, doesn't it, without a hitch.
The rumors are right now that George is all but booked for the December card in Canada.
Yeah. And they're going to sell
waiting
that
on an opponent.
Outrange. Yeah, GSP comes back. GSP comes back in Canada after what? How long has he been gone? 2 years? I mean, that's yeah, that's something else right there. That's going to be a sold out crowd. You can even believe that.
It won't surprise me that they, if St. Pierre is coming back and it is in December in Canada, that they would announce it probably tomorrow in Canada. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how you'd want to get that done, I think, from a promotional standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, yeah, tomorrow's card, what, that's in Vancouver, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's where you're going to want to promote that deal. GSP comes back, they'll probably run a promotion in the middle of it sometime. That'll be that's going to get a lot of it's going to get a lot of excitement going on. So hopefully that's what they do, right? You got 203 coming up, so, you know, I think he'll be ready by 206. I think he'll be good to go by December. I think GSP's been training and he's just not letting on.
Yeah, I think so too. There's no doubt in my mind. I agree with that 100%. Before we jump into tomorrow's card, which is a great card for free, by the way, let's jump back a little bit. And we didn't really get a whole lot of time to talk about Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. And, of course, everybody knows by now Conor got the majority decision, pun intended, victory over Nate Diaz. And you scored the fight for Conor. I felt like Diaz won. It was a razor close fight. I'm not disappointed in the decision either way. I wouldn't have been surprised seeing a draw there. One of the questions I think that we got to ask now is Nate Diaz a $3 million fighter when it's not against Conor McGregor?
You know what, man? I think Nate Diaz has proved that he's probably one of your top guys, and he's there for a war every time. He creates exciting fights. Now that he's had this little 1-2 with Conor McGregor, I think that he can headline more main events and he can ask for the money because I think he'll get it. Because now when they see him fight, they're going to expect that out of him every time. And they get that out of him every time, but there's not very many people that hang in there and give it back.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with him. He kind of said at the press conference he's not interested in doing anything else until they put him back in there with Connor. And he doesn't have to. My guess is, on paper he got $3 million just to show up. After you get the pay-per-view buys, he probably made somewhere around $5 million, would be my guess. He probably made a little more than that. Did they get the bonus? Yeah. So there you go. But I'm still not sold that Nate Diaz is a headliner. I mean, I agree with you that in the cage he brings it, outside of the cage he brings it, but for some reason the UFC just doesn't see that guy like that. I mean, even in comparison to his brother, I think they put more stock in Nick than they do Nate, and Nate kind of gets the short end of the stick in spite of the fact that he just probably drew, along with Connor, two of the biggest cards in UFC history.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy to beat Connor in the Octagon, right? So everybody wanted to see him again. And everybody wants to see that fight. You don't think Nate Diaz gained extra fans from that fight? I mean, they're practically the same person, except Connor McGregor is just a little bit more well-spoken. I mean, to me, that's what it is. You knew it was going to be a lot of banter back and forth, a lot of, you know, a lot of talking, a lot of screaming, a lot of everything, but I don't know that he's a $5 million fighter every time, but I think he can get himself some big paydays. I think he deserves it if he can keep performing that way. Now he's been around for a while, so you have to see where it goes from there.
One of the issues that I've had with a lot of the media that I've heard in the past week, a lot of other personalities in the world of mixed martial arts, is that they seem to be, like, since Connor won now, all of a sudden we're making excuses for the first time he lost. Making excuses, and then we're saying, well, if Connor beat Nate like he did at 170, if they do it at 155, which is probably what they'll do, the third one at whenever that takes place, then Connor's definitely going to win that one. And I think that's ridiculous to just assume that's going to go down like that.
I think, I don't know, man. Either way, you get, with Nate Diaz, man, Nate Diaz can fight either way. You know, obviously he was a lot heavier than Connor, and he tried to use that to his advantage, maul him up on the cage. But, he took some damage on the inside, too. Obviously, his cardio is a lot better. He's used to it. He can fight those longer fights. And I think at 55, Nate Diaz probably doesn't slow down at all. I mean, he just, he's leaner.
Yeah, see, that's where
right?
I come back.
He doesn't fill up with lactic as much, and it just, I think he's even worse at 155 pounds.
See, that's kind of where I think I come out at, too. I think that the matchup might even be a little bit more in favor of Diaz at 155. Diaz is a guy who's fought a majority of his career at 155. Conor McGregor is a natural 145-er. The weight is not going to be that much of a difference. Diaz is still going to blow up into probably 170 on fight day, where McGregor's still going to be 165 at the max.
Right. So, well, I think Nate might even be heavier than that. you know.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
And but I think the reason why he thinks it favors him is because McGregor going in at the lighter weight, right, also doesn't get tired as quickly, right, which favors him. Diaz is a cardio machine either way, but the 55 favors McGregor more just for the simple fact that, you know, he won't fill up as much, you know, with lactate. He'll be able to run a little bit longer. He'll be able to go. He'll feel lighter. I mean, if anybody out there knows, you know, if you're used to doing something at a lighter weight and then, you know, you put on 10, 20 pounds, whatever it is, it's a hard thing to get used to. It's not the same. You don't move the same. You might be able to do all the same things, but you don't move the same. So I think he feels like at that in between at 55, he's gonna have a little bit more power, but he's still gonna be as efficient as he was at 45.
So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. I obviously Conor McGregor has to go back to 145 or give the belt up. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
Hey, Diaz can do whatever he wants to do, help prepare his brother for his comeback.
Right.
And that count as money in between opportunities.
Yeah.
So next week is UFC on Fox. Coming to us from Vancouver, British Columbia. Free on Fox. Good four fight main card. Opening up with Joe Lozano and Jim Miller. Two exciting guys. I like this matchup a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I can't even pick that fight. I can't pick that fight because both Joe Lozano and Jim Miller bring it. I'm a huge Jim Miller fan, but I think that, you know what? I'm going to go with Jim Miller tomorrow. I think Jim Miller takes it. I think Jim Miller can beat Joe Lozano, even though Joe Lozano is probably a little bit fresher.
Yeah, I'm a big Jim Miller guy too. I just think that Joe Lozano is, I think he's going to get this one done. They fought before. Jim Miller got the win. I think Joe Lozano is going to come back and bring it back to Jim. I don't know. It's a great matchup. Both these guys are very well-rounded. Both these guys are well experienced. And, it should be a great fight. It should be a candidate for fight of the night. Or performance of the
absolutely
night,
that's what I would think too. I can't wait. Be good to see Jim Miller again, man. I think he just fought not too long ago, but I personally haven't seen the guy fight in a while. I'd love to see Jim Miller fight again, man. I haven't personally seen him since he went on that crazy run and then never got his title shot.
Yeah, that was pretty crappy for him because he went off on about a seven fight win streak and got to, I think, maybe one fight before a title fight and then lost and then almost hasn't been the same since. He's 2-4 in his last six. So he's been struggling a bit, but, the guy's such a well-rounded veteran fighter that he's still super dangerous for anybody. Only 32 years old, too. It feels like he's been around forever, but he's barely 32.
Yeah, he's still young, dude. That guy's in his prime, man. Maybe he just needs a little bit of break, and, he's going to come back strong. But look, you got another guy at 55 that's doing the same thing. You got Tony Ferguson. You know, I hope that guy gets a title shot. I think he's won 8 or 9 times in a row now. I mean, it's time. At a certain point, you just can't deny somebody anymore. If they win 7, 8, 9 times, give them the freaking title shot, man. Right? I mean, you can just keep throwing people in front of them. Eddie Alvarez, he had to give it to him. He beat, you know, 2, 3 former champs. So, I mean, you kind of had to.
Yeah, and being a champion, well-known champion too himself. We got a pretty interesting women's strawweight fight, Paige VanZant and Beck Rollins. Paige VanZant, going to see if she can rebound from her stint on Dancing with the Stars. I think the question on everyone's mind here is, will she dance her way to the cage?
Yeah, that'll be awesome, won't it? The you know what I – a lot of people I'm talking to are picking against Paige VanZant on this one. They think Beck Rollins is going to take it from her. You know, Beck's been active. Paige hasn't. But hopefully Paige VanZant added to her skill set since she fought Rose Namajunas. It was obvious that it was this – it wasn't heart that she lacked, but it was the skill set. So hopefully she's added to that skill set and she's ready to go.
Yeah, Beck Rollins is kind of more of like a brawler type of a fighter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see how – if she's able to get Paige VanZant to stand and trade with her, because I think if she does that, that's going to be a mistake for Paige VanZant. I think Paige will have to have a good game plan and stay well-rounded.
Yeah, I think the alpha male guy's probably got a good game plan for her. And, you know, she'll be prepared. She'll be prepared. I'm just wondering how being away for so long is going to affect her. But who knows? Maybe she's the type of person who has to get punched in the face a few times and then go, oh, yeah, we're not dancing.
Well, you know, she only missed 8 months, so it wasn't like a year layoff. I wouldn't hope that she would be too flat, but it's possible.
Right. It is possible, and Beck Rollins is tough. She's always looking for a scrap, so hopefully, I do think though that once Paige gets acclimated, you know, back to being in there and fighting, I think she'll be all right, and I think it's going to be a good fight.
Yeah, I definitely do think it's going to be a good fight too. But both of those ladies aren't afraid to get in there and mix it up and do what they got to do. Co-main event, Anthony Pettis making his featherweight debut against Charles Oliveira. Did you see him? Did you catch any look at the weigh-ins? Anthony Pettis looked like
I didn't catch any weigh-ins.
He got out of the hospital.
Him later.
Looked like he got out of the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably had to cut a lot of weight.
Cancer survivor. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look at this, man. The guy's pretty lean at 55. I can't even imagine what he looks like to weigh in at 146 pounds. I mean, that's crazy. You know, but if he can do it and he's healthy and he feels good on fight night, he's going to need to against Charles Oliveira. Because Charles Oliveira, man, that guy's got some pretty decent stand-up, but he'll choke you standing up, too.
Yes, he will. You know, and a guy who's from Brazil but actually fights out of Texas. So we've got to have a little bit of a partial pull for him there. I like Charles Oliveira. He's an exciting guy. He's got that good stand-up and dangerous submissions, but you know, with that being said, I think the same could be said for Anthony Pettis.
That is correct.
He's got a stand-up and pretty solid ground game as well.
Yeah.
And he's on a 3-fight losing streak. And
right.
Can he, you know, is his head where it needs to be? Is he been able to overcome 3 fights in a row? Losing 3 fights in a row, that's tough for a guy who was just a champ. You know, he was just on top of the world, and now all of a sudden, you know, he slid right down the mountain the hard way.
Yeah. I like, you know, Pettis, man, Pettis is an exciting guy. If he can get back to being that guy again, man, Pettis has got every opportunity in the world to be the champ again.
at 145 pounds. He just can't he get back to being that guy again?
Yeah, and being at 145, you know, that opens up a lot of different matchups for him. You know, his losses came to Dos Anjos, Alvarez, and
right.
Barbosa, and close fight with Eddie Alvarez. But yeah, I mean, he's got to be Showtime again. He can't be this, you know, just plodding, flat-footed. He's got to be exciting. He's got to bring that intensity back. Not intensity, that's not the right word, but just that that swagger that he had. He's got to get that back.
Yeah, he had it, man. He'd put it all together. I mean, the guy's a Taekwondo kicker. He's got great hands on top of it. He's got a decent ground game. He's got it all, man. It's just, you know, you got to have he's got to get back to what he was. You know, like you said, he can't be plodding. He can't be flat-footed. You know, he's got to go. You know, he used to just get in there and go for it, and that's what he's got to do. He's just got to get back to getting in there, go for it, and being dynamic like he always was. That's what got him to the show.
Main event is a very, very interesting matchup to me. Of course, the only officially endorsed majority decision, officially endorsed fighter, Carlos Condit, making his return to the cage versus the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner in mixed martial arts history, Damian Maia.
That's right.
I like this
man,
fight a lot.
I do like this fight a lot. I do like this fight. I like Damian Maia. You know, I love jiu-jitsu. I love it to death. Man, but also, I've said it 1,000 times before, and I'm going to say it again. I am a diehard Carlos Condit fan. That guy is technical brutality. His elbows are ridiculous. His stand-up is ridiculous. His ground game is just as good. And I recall him. I remember him. I remember when he was a champ in the WEC, and he was just relentless. And he still fights that way. I mean, now the guy's 32, 33 years old, and he still fights that way. I mean, you know, it's like you see a lot of guys flatten out, and you know they lose that. You know, like we were just talking about with Pettis, man. Carlos Condit, man, hadn't gone away. Man, he's just as crazy as he was, and he's got pinpoint accuracy with those elbows.
Yeah, he is a never say die guy. Very, very technical in everything that he does. Very controlled. We know the game plan will be there. The movement will be there. I'm really interested to see how he fares against Damian Maia on the ground. And can Damian Maia get him to the ground? Because he certainly cannot outstrike Carlos Condit for 25 minutes.
I don't think he can either. But Damian Maia, if Damian Maia, I can, you know what, man, I predict that Carlos Condit will finish Damian Maia. Right? And otherwise, because Damian Maia is going to have to work really hard to put him on the ground, and Carlos Condit knows how to get up. He's got decent defense. You know, I got to go with Condit, and I'm going to say he finishes Damian Maia.
I think that's very likely. It wouldn't surprise me at all that we see a knockout. You know, a first or second round knockout. It just all depends if Condit's able to keep his distance, because if Maia can get in there and get his arms around him and push him against the cage – man, I don't know. That'll be a tough situation. That's a tough situation for anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. But anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of The Majority Decision. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back here Sunday to go over all the results of this. apologize.